I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
Welcome back into Jazz Notes by KSL News Radio. My name is Cleon Wall. We've got plenty of hosts on this show. You've heard them all here on the Jazz Notes podcast. I'm not going to be joining you here for long, but let me just tell you one thing before we get to our guests, I guess you could say tonight, and that is thanks for downloading us. Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or any other place, or make sure you listen to us on the KSL News Radio app. I'm not going to be talking for much longer because, well, we've got Alex Keery, who's going to be taking over this podcast along with his cohort from KSL's Unrivaled. His name is Scott Mitchell. They interview Mark D'Amico. He is the Celtics.com reporter who was gracious enough to join us to talk about Gordon Hayward's return to Salt Lake City. Hope you enjoy this interview.
Joining us right now on the horn, he reports for the Boston Celtics for Celtics.com. He's Mark D'Amico joining us here on the program. Mark, thanks for being with us, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
We're a day away from the tip off of we don't know how this is going to happen. Last year, the Jazz fans didn't get to see Gordon Hayward come into town because of the injury that he had at the beginning of the season. And the question asked back then was, will Jazz fans boo Gordon Hayward? And I think that after a year of having Donovan Mitchell, feeling good about where they're at right now with him as the guy who's kind of the superstar of the team now, and having made the playoffs and everything last year as a team, I feel like they've moved on a little bit, but there's still the jury's still out on whether or not he's going to be booed. The question is, does Gordon Hayward still feel love for Utah, though?
Oh, yeah, I think no doubt. I mean, that's where he spent, the first 7 years of
yeah,
his career?
That's right.
I mean, there's no way he's not going to feel love for the city the way that they came together and the organization. I mean, to really kind of revitalize the franchise and turn it into a playoff team and obviously make his first All-Star team with the Jazz. So I think no doubt there's going to be love for the city when he returns. Now the real question is, and the jury's still out on this, will he play?
That's still
a question mark.
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward did not play in the first back-to-back that the Celtics had this season. Brad Stevens, it's probable that he's going to play in both games. I think Brad Stevens used the word assumed. He assumes that Hayward's going to play in both, but I think that has a lot to do with what happens tonight. You know, if this is a tight game in Phoenix, which you never know with
right.
either with the way that both of these teams are playing. If it's close and he plays 27-ish minutes, he might not be playing tomorrow, but I think you're going to see him out there.
Is he back completely from the injury, or is this just like, hey, this is a long season and we want to just ease him into things, or is he still trying to get to be 100%?
Some lingering effects, yeah.
Yeah, so I would say he's about 100% health-wise, right? Like they're not holding him back because he's not able to play 30 minutes. They're holding him back because, like you said, this is a long-term thing. Brad Stevens told me the other day, I asked him about the minutes restriction. I said, hey, I've noticed that the minutes restriction, which had been 25 minutes per game for the first 2 weeks of the season, I said, hey, it looks like it's going up a tick. And he said, that's exactly the phase it's in. we're going up a tick. So now he's 25 to 27 minutes.
Right.
And Steven said, listen, we're not looking at this as a one-game thing or a two-game thing or even a 10-game thing. We're looking at this as an 82-game thing. And by the end of those 82 games, we want Gordon Hayward healthy. We want him playing great basketball. And this is just a part of the process. And, you know, Gordon, I think, is a little bit frustrated with it, as any competitor would be. You know, he's being held back from playing the amount of minutes that he's typically used to in his career.
Sure.
But it's just part of the process, and hopefully by the end of the season, you know, he'll be back to looking like the guy who signed with Boston after, you know, that All-Star season with Utah.
Part of why Gordon left and signed with the Celtics was because of the tradition and the opportunity he felt to really win a championship, and felt that that was his best option. With LeBron James now moving out into the West, does it kind of open up the Eastern Conference a little bit? Are people more optimistic? Are the Celtics like, hey, we've got a legitimate shot now to get to the finals?
Yeah, I think everyone feels that way. And I think everyone in the Eastern Conference feels that way, to be honest with you. I don't think the Celtics are the only team thinking that. But at the same time, I mean, last season, without Kyrie Irving and without Gordon Hayward, the Celtics almost beat LeBron. So I think, and you know, I'm not speaking on behalf of the team, but I know Jaylen Brown has said this publicly, but I think that the team and the players actually believe if LeBron did stay in Cleveland, the Celtics would beat them this season, even if LeBron was there. So I don't think that they were really scared of what LeBron was bringing to the table in Cleveland anymore, especially with this team that the Celtics have now. And I mean, you talked about it, Gordon Hayward signing with the Celtics for what he thought was going to be an opportunity to contend for a title. But this team that they have now is way better than the team that he thought he was signing with. I mean, you trade Isaiah Thomas out and you get Kyrie Irving. That's an upgrade.
Pretty good, yeah.
You draft Jason Tatum, who turns into what everyone believes is going to be a superstar. He was the best player on the team going to Game 7 of the conference finals as a rookie. So I think this team is even more talented than Hayward would have thought when he signed with it. But, yeah, I do think that the door is certainly cracked much more open without LeBron. But I think even if LeBron was here in the Eastern Conference, I don't think the Celtics would be shaking in their boots.
It's interesting to see the development of Gordon Hayward over the years. I remember interviewing him after he got to Utah. This is his rookie year. He still looked like he was 16 years old, and he had the bowl cut, and he like fresh off of you know, the Butler almost buzzer beater against Duke and everything. And I remember thinking, this guy looks way young. I cannot believe that he is like a first rounder and you know, as high of a pick as he was. And he developed, and he got married, and that even helped in that development. His wife helped his hair situation, certainly. But when it came down to it, obviously the draw of having Brad Stevens there in Boston is probably the bulk of not just being able to win a championship, but going to play for the guy that he respects so much. Have you even seen him come to Boston and be able to, I don't know, get in there in Brad Stevens' system and feel already at home, even in the little time he's been able to play with him?
Yeah, I think he feels at home in terms of a home. And I think that, you know, that the injury that – obviously you don't want to go through an injury like that, and the Celtics wouldn't want him to go through an injury like that. But the way that the organization and Brad and Danny Ainge and everyone from top to bottom – I mean, I remember going into the office the next day after we flew back from Cleveland, and they had a – it was probably about an 8-by-10-foot card that they wanted all 150, 200 people in the organization to sign for him. And that's just the type of stuff that, you know, within the Celtics organization, I think made him feel at home.
Right.
I mean, throughout the entire process, they were sending personnel out to, you know, stay with him in San Diego, and they were going with him to Indiana, and they were doing everything that they possibly could to make him feel comfortable when, you know, realistically, he should have felt uncomfortable, because here's this guy that signed a max deal, and now he's got a career-threatening injury. You never know what he's going to be after that. But the Celtics supported him. I think that year and the way that they did support him really did make him feel at home. And now, no, I don't think he looks comfortable in Brad Stevens' system here just because he's not himself yet.
Sure.
I mean, you guys will see. If he plays tomorrow night, he just doesn't look like himself. And, you know, that's part of the process. Like we just talked about a minute ago, you
right,
know,
and you're
he's
10
not
going
to come
in.
Back from yeah. missing a year
yeah.
and look like himself.
Yeah. We were just talking about this, this whole situation too. But, Jazz fans are going through this deal. They just got their first home win last night of the season. And that's really rare for them to start off the season 0-4 at their place mm-hmm. over here in Salt Lake City. And so to get another win. I mean, everybody was already melting down. Like, this is not the team we thought we were going to see. And I thought, oh, good. Boston's coming in with the same type of thing. They're 6-4, which is way below what the New Englander kind of standard for where their teams are supposed to be, who are supposed to be, you know, competing for a title are going to be, especially when you look across the border and you look at how good Toronto is so far this year.
Exactly.
The meltdown situation happens, but that – being 10 games in, I think people forget how difficult it is to just kind of see the season for the whole thing of what it's going to end up being.
Yeah, I mean, after that game in Cleveland last season, you know, I walked out there, I'm like, okay, season's over for Boston, right? That's on game one, right? Game one of 82. And you fast forward to the end of May, the Celtics are on the doorstep of the finals. You just don't know what's going to happen throughout an 82-game season. You don't know what's going to happen to other teams. You don't know what's going to happen to your team. You don't know what trades might come up. You just don't know. You know, it's week three of the NBA season. There's a long way to go. And, you know, from Boston's perspective, I mean, they're not only working Gordon Hayward back in, but at the exact same time, they're working Kyrie Irving back in.
So right.
All of these guys are trying to, you know, you talk about Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, those guys, and Terry Rozier. Those guys are working around the returns of Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, and those minutes, you know, their minutes are dropping back a little bit. Same thing with their usage, the shot attempts. So they're learning different roles. I'm sure it's the same thing, you know, in Utah. I mean, you don't pick every team is its own entity. You know, just because you had a great previous season doesn't mean you're going to have a great next season. The chemistry is not always the same, and it takes a full season to develop that stuff. So people in Salt Lake City, people in Boston, don't jump off the
bridge
yet. There's plenty of time for these teams. They got too much talent, you know, to be, you know, sticking around where they have so far.
Mark Damick over Celtics.com joining us here on KSL's Unrivaled, also on our Jazz Notes podcast. You can hear it wherever podcasts are found. Mark, we're excited about the Celtics coming back into town, and I'm on team don't boo Gordon Hayward, but you know how fans are. You know how fans are.
So. You know,
people will be receptive.
I think, like you said at the beginning, I think it's been long enough.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think it's been long enough. Not only that, but then I think also, I don't think people in Salt Lake City are pretty nice people, right? Am I right about that?
Well, you may have a few people that are not going to be happy about Gordon Hayward.
It's not Boston level or Philadelphia level of, like, you know, random hatred, but, you know.
There's some pretty passionate Jazz fans.
We only really have one big-time, you know, Big Four franchise here. So they put all their passion into it. That's how I'll put it.
Right. I mean, I get that, but what I was trying to get to is I think – people in Salt Lake City are good enough people to realize what this guy went through.
Oh, for sure.
This return is not going to be like the return if he came back uninjured last season.
No
question.
Right? You've had a year to process it. You've seen
The folks here are forgiving and passionate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I can see the crowd giving him some love simply because they know what he went through over the last 12 to 13 months. And, you know, giving him a little bit of support to say, like, you know what, it's pretty awesome that you're back out here right now. And, you know, we're not glad to have you here. We want to beat you. But, you know, it's good to see you doing better than you were after that first game in Cleveland last season.